Why is the so-called consecration of Russia so important to this entire area?
Well, the lady said that if her requests were granted, Russia would be converted and there would be peace. And now, the two requests she was referring to, one was the communions of reparation on the first Saturday of the month.
And I think a lot of people have misunderstood that, thinking that the fall of communism was what she meant. That's not the case, right?
Well, it can't be, because, first of all, two things. Of course, there are a lot of people who believe that communism fell in 1989, 1991. I don't believe that's the truth, and we can talk about that, but that's not the subject of this program, but I can certainly give some evidence for that. There's certainly a book by Mr. Anatole Golitsyn, who was a KGB officer in 1958 at the 30-year planning board. He defected in 1961. He published his book in 84, predicting 148 changes in Russia. In this book, remember, it was published in 84. By 1993, 139 had been realized. All of these things are part of a strategic deception, which he then outlines to you, because, not because he's a prophet, but simply because he was there at the planning meetings. He talked about the fall of the Berlin Wall 5 years before it took place, and as all part of a strategic deception of the West. And what would they gain from that? Well, three things. First of all, they get the West to drop their arms, which is what they said they would do in 1930 in the Russian, in the Dmitry School of, I forget the name of the school, but the political school of political warfare. We will have such overtures to the West, they said in this school in 1930, that that people, they will drop their arms, and when their arms are down, we will smash them with our clenched fist. That is one thing. It's all based on the simple doctrine of Sun Tzu, the political genius.
The art of war.
Of warfare. The art of war. All warfare is based on deception. When you are weak, pretend you are strong. When you are strong, pretend you are weak.
Now, there are some who will say that you're not operating with the permission of the church and that you've been suspended. What do you tell them?
Well, very simply, of course, if anyone, you know, either wants to go to our website, you know, www.fatima.org, or they can get it off there, or they can phone our 800 number, 1-800-263-8160. They can order for themselves whatever leaflets or booklets they need to answer that. But very simply, I'm not suspended for the simple reason that I haven't committed any crime against church law or any other law for that matter. And the church law is very clear, very explicit. It said no one can be penalized unless he's actually committed some crime. So that's foundational to church law. It's there's a little book that we have called Actually Virginia, Father Gruner is Not Suspended. It explains it in non-technical language to anybody at any age level can understand it. Very simply...
Have they tried to suspend you?
What they've tried to do is carry out the appearance of my suspension. What I mean by that is that in 19... well, it's, if you want to get into it, it's very simple. In the Bishop of Avellino and the Vatican officials concocted a plan between them. The Bishop of Avellino is basically just a pawn in their game. They told me to find another bishop since I was not living in Avellino.
Right.
So I found three bishops.
Avellino being in Italy.
Italy, yes. Yeah. And I've been living in Canada with the Bishop of Avellino's permission since 1978. In writing, by the way, and so they told me to find another bishop. So I found three bishops, and I got those bishops to say so in writing. Then, in the back door, the Vatican officials would go to the Bishop of Avellino and say, do not let him change dioceses, you know, to be excardinated, in other words, is the technical term for that.
Yeah, I was going to speak in a language we would understand here, yeah. Because we don't understand the clergy verbiage.
Well, every priest is attached either to a diocese, that is a territory governed by a bishop, or he belongs to a religious order.
Right.
And that attachment is called incardination. And so when you change from one diocese to another, you become excardinated or change out of that diocese to another diocese, and you get incarnated in the new diocese.
And how do you move from one to the other? Do they assign you?
It's a three-way contract. It is the priest, in this case myself, gets the agreement of the bishop to excardinate me, and gets the agreement of the second bishop to incardinate me.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So now the bishop of Avellino wanted, you know, here I am under orders to be excardinated and find another bishop. So obviously it's a given that he's going to excardinate me. So I do everything that they tell me to do. I got a new bishop to incardinate me. Then he refuses to excarnate me. He refuses to let me go.
So he keeps you, basically.
Then he says you're disobedient because you didn't find another bishop. that's been the game.
So this is what's been going on.
This is what's been going on. That's only part of it, okay? The second part of it is this, is that the Bishop of Foligno, as a dutiful pawn of the Vatican officials playing this game, basically the Secretary of State and his minions, have then said, well, if you don't return to Avellino in 30 days to live here, you know, reside here permanently, we will suspend you. Well, I pointed out to the, and the suspension will be automatic. It's called a sententia, a late sententia, which means it'll happen automatically if you don't show up in 30 days.
Okay.
So I then appealed this order all the way through the church courts, and that took 5 years. But the order itself is, I've learned a lot of canon law on this, although I should have known this stuff earlier, is that the order itself was illegal because I could not obey if I wanted to, for the simple reason that the bishop has to provide me, because I'm a Canadian national, not an Italian national, for me to immigrate to Italy, that's the law of the land, which says simply that, to bring a foreigner in here to work for somebody, even for priests, it's quite explicit, then you have to have papers such as, you know, that the guarantee from the bishop that he will pay my health insurance and give me a pension at the end of my, you know, my service, and so that I won't be a burden on the state, basically, of state of Italy.
Right.
So that's the law. Well, the bishop has not provided me such papers, so I could not obey the order if I wanted to. So since he gave the order, which is null and void from the beginning, but this is the basis on which they say I'm suspended.
Now, would any of this have occurred if you didn't go contrary to their thoughts on the third message?
Or even about saying that the consecration of Russia has not been done.
Right.
That's, you know, the third secret, of course, only took place in the year 2000, their alleged release of it. But, in fact, they've been claiming for some time, some people have been claiming that the consecration of Russia has been done. And, of course, we've pointed out time and again that cannot be. And, therefore, that the Pope still has the duty that millions of people's lives are at stake and that every man, woman, and child who understands this should be phoning, faxing, emailing the Vatican or the local bishop or priest and telling them, look, you know, we're all sitting on a time bomb here. I mean, with the war on terrorism and all the rest of it and terrorist activity, this can all be prevented by the consecration of Russia taking place. It hasn't taken place, and we're all at risk, even physically, I'm talking about. We're also at risk, spiritually, which is even much worse, a much greater danger.